Hebrews chapter 10, please, if you'll find your Bibles. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 together. I'm going to begin the reading this morning. From Hebrews chapter 10, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament and in chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence or your boldness, which has great reward. Hebrews 10, now verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And that is the promise of God. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith, or my righteous one will live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe, that is, those who have faith, to the saving of the soul. Now faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What the Hebrew writer is telling these Hebrew Christians, and by extension is saying to us about faith is the foundation of your hope. The substance of your hope. Faith is what undergirds, stands under your hope. So, if faith is the foundation of my hope can only be as strong as my faith. Faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of things not seen. If we are walking by faith, then we cannot be at the same time walking by sight. Faith is seeing the unseen. Conviction. If I have no conviction, if you have no conviction, you have no faith. True faith. And without faith, verse 6 of chapter 11, it's impossible to please God. Not it's unlikely. He said it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God, that's the one who's pleasing God, the one who's now coming to God to have a relationship based upon faith, fellowship as the result of faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Please understand that the Hebrew writer long ago is writing to Hebrew Christians who were suffering a great deal. And as a result of the severity of their suffering, it had shaken their faith. And so what the Hebrew writer is doing is he's not only talking to them about the essentiality of faith, my righteous one shall live by faith. He's not only talking about the necessity of faith and telling them or reminding them what faith is and how faith lives. He's encouraging them with the heroes of faith in chapter 11 as if to say, they did it by faith and you can too. But it must be, it has to be your faith. Don't shrink back. Don't draw back to destruction or perdition. But be like those heroes of faith who, as a result of their faith and trust in God, their belief, it was to the salvation or deliverance of their soul. My righteous ones shall live by faith. Are you a faith walker? Are you living? Am I living by faith? Good morning and welcome to all who are here, especially those this morning that are visiting. We have several visitors again this morning. We're delighted to have you. We're glad you're here. We say to you, welcome. Thank you for being with us. For being with us this morning, we invite your return again today, if you can, at 5 o'clock. We'll assemble in this place. We'd be delighted to have you come and be a part of that again with us today at 5 o'clock. Can I ask you three questions this morning? What needs to die in you? What needs to die in you? That is, what do you need to crucify? What do you need to get rid of? What needs to die in you? I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It's not me who lives, it's Christ who now lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What needs to die in you? You're not ready to live truly by faith until you die to self and to sin. What needs to die in you? Question number two, what needs to live in you? What attitudes or actions need to live in me that are going to help me to walk by faith? What attitude and actions need to be living in me that are going to help me be a fruit bearer for Jesus, going to make me stronger, make my family stronger, make this church stronger? It's not just what needs to die in me, it's what needs to live in me. And can I ask us the third question? Who is controlling me? What needs to die in me? What needs to live in me? Who's controlling me? If I'm walking by faith, that means I'm walking with God. The faith that we read about in Hebrews 11, the faith that I want you to see in Hebrews 11 now, verse 7, with regards to Noah. We're told that Noah walked with God. We're told that Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. Read Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7 and Genesis chapter 8 to let the Word of God tell the story of Noah's faith. One verse, though, in Hebrews chapter 11, when the Hebrew writer is telling us about the heroes of faith, he mentions, having already mentioned Abel and Enoch, another who walked with God, verse 7, he says, now by faith. Also, Noah, by faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Noah. I want us to see this morning from this text in Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to see something about Noah. I want us to see something about the faith of Noah. I want us to imitate the life of Noah, to follow his faith, to be a faith walker like Noah. If I'm going to be a faith walker like Noah, then I have to hear God's warnings. I must obey God's instructions. Noah's an illustration of how faith itself, or how faith demonstrates reverent obedience. Listen again. By faith being warned by God about things not yet seen. Are you letting God warn you about things that you have yet to see or experience? I mean, you know the story of Noah. Again, if you don't, go back, read Genesis 6 and Genesis 7 and Genesis chapter 8. What God warns Noah, what God says to Noah, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to destroy a world by flood, which means it's going to rain. No indication that Noah had ever seen it rain. But Noah believed. He believed what God said. He had confidence that what God said he would do, God would do. How do we know that Noah truly respected what God said to him? How do we know that Noah truly had the faith that the righteous ones are to have. Because we are told in Genesis 6:22 and Genesis 7 and verse 5 that Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Not some, but all. If my faith is the kind of faith that does some of what God commands and not all of what God commands, then I need to examine my faith and I need to strengthen my faith, because I don't have the faith of Noah. I don't have the kind of faith that is going to deliver me and save me. I wonder how many husbands are doing some of what the Lord commands. I wonder how many wives are doing some of what the Lord commands. I wonder how many parents in raising their children are doing some of what the Lord commands. We live, ladies and gentlemen, in a world that is anti-God and questions the wisdom of God. We're surrounded by those who are parenting not according to faith, not according to the commands and the instruction and the counsel of God, but according to their own understanding and their own reasoning. And that causes them to do some. That's causing those who claim to be Christians and having faith in their heart and walking by faith, that's causing some who call themselves Christians full of faith only doing some of what God commands in raising their children. When I question the Word of God and how God says to me as a father to raise my children and to discipline my children, if I have gotten to a point in my discipline of my children that I say the rod and reproof don't bring correction, then I'm not walking by faith. Because I'm doing some, not all of what God commands. Elders and leading sheep. Teachers and teaching the Word. How are we teaching? How are we living? Noah had faith in God, which moved him to obey all that God had asked him to do. To walk by faith means completing what God tells me to do. We'll come back to that. Over 100 years, maybe 120 years, we're told Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years by the Apostle Peter. If I have faith, I'll complete what God tells me to do. Are you hearing the commands of God? Are you hearing the warnings of God? Are you obeying the instructions of God in its completion? Faith walkers must. To be a faith walker means I will be courageously committed. We're going to talk about courage, but we're also going to talk about commitment. Staying courageously committed to God and the work that He's called me to do. Noah's faith was bold. Can you imagine being a preacher of righteousness in the days of Noah? Can you imagine preaching a message where, except for your family, your wife, your three sons, and their wives, except for seven others, nobody else responds? Talk about a bold faith. I think I've known some Christians. I fear I've known some Christians who, during presidential elections, would stake big signs in their front yard that would unashamedly declare to others who they're voting for. But when it comes to standing up for God and righteousness, they're an undecided voter. In other words, if on your job you were accused, if on my job I was accused of being a follower of Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you or to convict me, or would I be found innocent of all charges? Noah's faith was bold. And that's why he preached without any shame or without intimidation the message God gave him to preach. It's going to rain, and I'm going to destroy the world. If you want to be saved, if you want to be delivered, you better trust me and obey me. Who am I trying to please? I mean, you talk about courage, you talk about faith, you talk about obedience, and you talk about the righteous who have this kind of faith. Who am I really trying to please? Who are you really trying to please? Am I so concerned about the way others will think that I'm not able to think reasonably myself? Have I become paralyzed in doing what is right because I'm so concerned and worried about what others will say and think about me? You see, there's a reason why I believe the text highlights for us, the Hebrew writer does, in Hebrews 11 verse 7, that Noah builds the ark as the result of his godly fear, his reverence, holy fear. I mean, do I have that holy fear? Do I have that godliness? Do I have that reverence for God that moves me to be more concerned about being a God pleaser than I am a man pleaser? I mean, who am I really trying to please? I mean, I mentioned this, but go back to this thing. Can you imagine what people were saying and thinking about Noah when he's chopping down gopher wood? He's chopping and he's chopping, he's working and he's preaching, he's working and he's preaching, and he's chopping down gopher wood and he's building an ark, a massive, huge structure. It's going to rain. God says it's going to rain. And they've never seen rain. God's coming in judgment. He's going to judge you for your sins. Oh, you just keep eating and drinking and being married and giving yourself in marriage and partying, and God's coming. He's going to destroy the world. You better repent. Can you imagine what people were saying about Noah? This guy's lost his mind. Somebody go get him. Commit him. Check him in. Don't you know that that kind of mockery and that kind of teasing and that kind of verbal intimidation can wear on a man? It would me. But it says Noah walked with God. He walked with God. He was pleasing God. In a world like this, we get to a point, I have been guilty, getting to a point where we say, I mean, look at the world that we live in. Look at the world that I'm trying to bring my kids up in. And look at the world that I'm trying to help my grandkids to grow up in. This world. Look at the world in the days of Noah. I mean, the text tells us in Genesis 6 and verse 5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You talk about peer pressure. You want to preach a sermon about dare to be different, just go to the days of Noah. I don't know about you. Generally, I don't struggle to do the right thing on Sunday morning from the hours of 9 to about 11:30 or noon. And I don't generally struggle to do the right thing on Sunday from about 5 to 6 or 6:30. And I don't struggle to do the right thing on a Wednesday from about 7 to 8:15 or 8:30. Because I'm surrounded by others that I believe want to do what I want to do right. They want to walk by faith too. They want to be righteous before God and blameless like Noah. But Monday's a different story than Sunday. Because Monday you got to go back into the world. Monday you got to work with others that are anti-God. Monday you've got to go to school with others that are anti-God. Monday is different from Sunday. But the issue is of faith pleasers and our God pleasers and faith walkers is that our faith is to be as strong and as real on Monday as it is on Sunday. That's one of the reasons we come together in a family on the Lord's Day is to build each other up. But Noah wasn't just a man as a result of faith, of courage. He was a man of commitment. You know, the Hebrew writer had been talking to him back in chapter 10 about endurance. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, the promise comes after you do the will of God. And it's when we need to hear about a better resurrection. It's when we need to be reminded of the promise and presence of God. It's when we're going through the hard times, when we're going through the suffering, when our faith is being tested and potentially shaken. We need to be told, don't throw in the towel, don't quit. We need to be reminded it's going to be worth it all. Look at the heroes. They did it and you can too. But you got to shore up your faith. You got to strengthen your faith. And a faith walker is the kind of person who will endure, who will stay committed, who will stay the course. Over 100 years? You see, while it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, it had been at least 100 years since God made the promise to Noah that I'm going to destroy the world before he actually destroys the world. He's working and he's preaching for a long time before the first plop, plop, or he's on the ark. You know, I don't know about you, but it's I can stay to a task. I can stay kind of committed to a task for a month. Every once in a while, I'll give myself a little extra credit and say, you know, I think I can stay at this task for a year. That's hard. Maybe you go past a year and you go to 5 years. Maybe you go past 5 years and you go to 10 years. How about 100 years? Most of us aren't going to live 100 years. But my point is, what happens, even with us as Christians, as a result of getting discouraged and growing tired and weary, we work and we pray really hard, and then we have those times of doubt and with those moments, and is it making any difference? Is this going to get turned around? Is this going to change? Is God really listening? Does God really care? You see where my faith has to be? It has to be like Noah's. Faith believes that all things are possible with God. Inside the will of God, absolutely. And I think about the things sometimes that limit our minds, that keep us from doing what God wants to do. It may take years and it may come with great trial, but if God asks me to do it, I can do it through Him who strengthens me. But I have to have the faith of Noah, courageously committed. Noah had a faith that was willing to hear the instructions and the warnings of God and with reverence and fear obey what God asked him to do, to have the courage to preach, the courage to live, the conviction to preach, the conviction to live, and the commitment to endure in doing the work that God had called him to do. And number three, Noah was seeking to save his family, making family a priority. The text says Noah built an ark to the saving of his household, which we know, seven others besides himself, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. What was Noah's motivation? It had to be at least twofold. If I were pressed, I would say Noah's motivation, first and foremost, was to please with God. He walked with God to please God. But don't miss this. Noah's motivation to work, to endure, to keep on keeping on, I'm saving my family. Now, it had to be their faith. But Noah was concerned about his family. He loved his family. If nobody else believed Noah and what he preached about God, he made sure his family did. Noah walked with God. He wanted his kids to walk with God. I find it hard to believe that looking at the faith of Noah and the courage of Noah and the conviction of Noah and the endurance and the stamina of Noah. I find it hard to believe that Noah was the kind of father, that Noah was the kind of man, that when his children would ask him, "Daddy, what does this mean? Daddy, what are you doing? Daddy, why are you preaching this?" I find it hard to believe that he was the kind of man that said, "Go ask your mother. Go ask your mom." He would tell them. He would teach them. Noah wasn't the kind of man who told his family to serve God. He was the kind of man who led his family to serve God. Noah wasn't the kind of man who simply told his family, his children, to honor God. He led his family in honoring God. And there's a difference. And I'll just pause here to say, I'm very encouraged to see the fathers we have that have the faith of Noah in this church. Keep it up, men. Keep it up, men. Why does God reveal for us that when the rain ceased and the waters had subsided in Genesis chapter 8, that Noah takes his family off the ark, and one of the first things he does is he builds an altar? What is he doing? What is he reminding his family about? We're going to worship God. And we're going to give thanks to God. Because deliverance and salvation is only possible as a result of God. You don't become an heir of righteousness. You don't receive the promise if you're not trusting God. It's by grace through faith. Men, keep leading your families. We need to keep leading our families with the conviction of Noah to serve God. And I must share to you this, the last point here. You know, I need to hear this as a preacher, but all of us, men, we need to hear this too. Noah didn't ignore the spiritual needs of his family in order to do God's work of building an ark. The work that God gave Noah to do, absolutely important. It was God's work. But Noah didn't sacrifice his family as a result of doing the work of God, which argues that it is possible. I didn't say easy. But it is possible to do the work of God in the kingdom of God and raise your kids to serve God. You want to become an heir of righteousness, which is by faith? You want to be like Noah? Walk by faith. Walk by faith. Years ago, someone was preaching a sermon in a lectureship where I was, and he said he told his wife, which I thought was kind of a morbid thought, but he shared it. He said he told his wife what he wanted to have etched on his tombstone. When he died, what he wanted etched on his tombstone. Okay. Well, it made me start thinking, okay, when I'm gone, what do I want etched on my tombstone? That's probably not going to be up to me. Humorously, I heard someone say, "I guess etch on my tombstone, I told you I was sick." So I thought, okay, what about if we're talking about Noah? What about on my tombstone? He was a preacher of righteousness. Okay. But what about this? He walked with God. That wouldn't mean much. Perhaps wouldn't mean anything at all to most in the world. But it ought to mean something to us as a people of God and the family of God to say of someone, he or she walked with God. That was Noah. That was Noah's faith. And so the Hebrew writer says, without faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to walk with God. Apart from faith in God. Do you have that faith to the saving of your soul? If you're here this morning and you do not have that faith, Can we help you to come to that faith? Can we help you? Can we help to produce that faith and that conviction, that assurance in your heart? Are you here this morning and you believe, you have faith that Jesus was who he said he was? Look at the evidence. Put it to the test. Jesus said of himself he was the Christ of God. He was God's Messiah. He was God in the flesh, the one sent to make possible the forgiveness of your sins. Do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Are you willing by faith to trust and obey? To repent of your sins, to be born again of water, to be immersed in water, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to have your sins forgiven? Are you here as a child of God and you've fallen from grace and you've gone back in the world to serve self and sin? You've stopped walking with God and pleasing God? Repent. Turn from that. And have faith in God, in the promise of God of restoration and renewal and forgiveness and cleansing by and through the blood of Jesus Christ of your sins. Will you come back home? Will you come to God? If we can help you spiritually this morning in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?